Welcome to the podcast of the Geological Society. My name's Sarah Day, and I'm with Professor Rob Butler from the University of Aberdeen, who's been part of our 100 Geosites project, which we've just launched this week. Rob, perhaps you could just say something about the project and why the Geological Society's been doing it.
Yeah, so over the summer, there was an open call through various social media for people to nominate sites, largely through pictures, which generated 400 nominated sites around the UK and Ireland, all sorts of places. And some well-known, some just that they had just almost in their back garden, and not just rock outcrops, but also places and buildings and museums and engineering projects. So all sorts of things were thrown into the mix then. The geological outcrops and other parts of our geological heritage are an important showcase, and it's a way in which we can tell stories and explain our science to the broader public. Now, those 400 then were then assembled into categories, and people were able to then vote under those lists. There were 10 categories, and the intention was to draw up a set of 100 sites, 10 from each of those categories, which were based in part on that public call and in part on the nominations from a sort of select group to make sure that some key places didn't fall through the net.
So we've now got a final list of 100. It includes 10 sites which the public chose as their favourites, but it also includes 90 others, and obviously there's the other 300 sites that are nominated. Out of all of those sites, do you have any particular favourites that you'd like to highlight?
Goodness me. Well, the 10 public sites, I think there's, the site listed as number one, which most of the media seems to think is the number one best site in Britain, which happens to be in the landscape category of the mountains of Assint, way up in the northwest of Sutherland. That's really spectacular. I mean, great little mountains that I went up one of those when I was about 11 years old, as a little potter. But it's a really great landscape with pretty much the oldest rocks in Britain forming the lower ground, about 3 billion, 2.5 billion years old, and then these Torridon mountains of Torridonian sandstone sat on top of them, which makes a really great landscape.
And I think one of the things that's been really interesting about this project and that's really surprised people is just the huge variety of geology that we have in the UK and Ireland. Is there a particular reason why it's such a great place for geology?
Wow. That's
Sorry, that's quite a big question.
It is. I mean, first of all, you've got 3 billion years of Earth history recorded here. We've got great landscapes that have been sculpted by various bits of ice age over the last few hundred thousand years or so, particularly. So you've got good landscapes, but you've also, because there's a sort of compounding part to this, because the geology is variable and we've got great natural resources here, it meant that the Industrial Revolution, to all intents and purposes, started in Britain. So we've got a whole bunch of society related components to our geological heritage. So one, the winner of the industrial sites was the Iron Bridge Gorge, for example, the cradle of the Industrial Revolution. It's there because of the coal, because of the iron ore in the vicinity, and the fact the River Severn runs through it, which is a instant transport network for to remove the product. So it all comes together then to form the Industrial Revolution, which then creates buildings and all the rest of that, so that they compound one upon the other. So it's the bedrock geology and the long history then plays forward from there.
And there's also mention of museums in the list. We've got the Natural History Museum, obviously, in London. Also the Rotunda Museum, our dynamic earth up in Scotland. I think people were quite surprised to see Rotunda up there as a people's favourite as well. Is there a particular reason you think why that's there?
Well, I think the people of Scarborough must be very proud that they outcompeted the Natural History Museum. Which I guess probably came in at number two in the people's choice.
I think it was pretty high up.
Yeah. But I think the Rotunda is great because it's a great example of one of our regional museums, and it actually displays how actually this society and our sort of leading lights have been really into outreach almost since day one, because it was designed by William Smith back in the early 19th century. So it's got a great history to itself, and it tells a great Earth history story. But also on top of that, they do outreach today really well. So back in September, they had a fossil festival that attracted 5,000 people, and maybe a few of them might have voted for the Rotunda.
And there seem to be a lot of sites which have been selected for the list, partly because of the role they've played in the history of science as well. And it seems like it's really highlighted how important geology has been as a study to British science for such a long time?
Well, actually, more than that, I would say. I think, a place like Siccar Point, which I'm sure many people have, even if you don't know any geology, you may have heard of Siccar Point, and it's the where Hutton in the late 18th century basically made the leap into the unknown, intellectual unknown of establishing the sort of continuous nature of the geological record and the idea that the Earth has a long history. Quite how long, we had to wait for radiometric dating to come out, but he was aware that it was almost infinite, certainly compared to the timescale that advocates of sort of a biblical timescale were coming up with. Now, I think that leap of iconoclastic behaviour was fundamental to underpinning the sort of non-conformist, unconventional view that came out of the Edinburgh Enlightenment movement. And you can argue in many ways that cradle of philosophical debate, and similar ones going on, for example, in Staffordshire and the West Midlands about the time from where people like Darwin came from, those communities which challenged existing wisdom had fundamentally built upon the opportunities that our rock outcrops gave them to have debates. And so you can argue that developed the entrepreneurialism that allowed British society through Victorian era and since to flourish.
As well as heading up the 100 Geosites project, you're chair of the Geoconservation Committee here at the Geological Society. Particularly in terms of geoconservation, what is it that you're hoping will come out of this list, the positives to come out of it?
Well, I think, first of all, a greater public awareness that geology is a fundamental part of our heritage, not just geoheritage, but heritage in general, and we should value and cherish the resource that we have here. The next thing is to show that the geology actually underpins the ecosystem, so that the concept of geodiversity is as important as biodiversity and controls the nature of the ecosystem that's built upon it. And that's a really important point. But it also means that we can raise awareness of a number of sites that should have statutory protection through the SSSI concept. That remain to be notified as SSSIs, even though they're well recognised through exercises such as the Geological Conservation Review as being sites that are fundamentally important to our science. Yet the statutory bodies have yet to notify. So it allows us to raise the issues, essentially, particularly because the public think they're important too.
And do you have concerns? A few people have raised the issue that we're highlighting these sites, we're raising awareness of them, yet they are places that need to be protected. Are you worried about extra tourism having an effect on the quality of the outcrops?
That's always a perennial issue. I think we have to trust the public to look after their heritage. Why should we be the people who can say it's all right for us to go to them, but we shouldn't tell anybody else? I think that's unduly arrogant, and I think we have to trust people to look after their heritage. In the same way as we leave people, allow people to walk around Westminster Abbey, we don't lock them outside.
Westminster Abbey is actually one of the sites on the 100 list, of course.
Indeed, and some people think it should be higher. And actually, if you just Google geosites, you'll also pick up a whole bunch of press coverage and really spectacular images on places like the BBC and the Telegraph and so forth that have been doing a job covering it. So you can get a whole bunch more than that.
Yeah, it's been a really great project for images, apart from anything else.
Yeah,
and everything on the list is very photogenic, so hopefully you'll enjoy visiting them. Rob, thanks so much for talking to me. If you go on our website, you can see the full list of the 100 geosites. You can see an interactive map, so you can find out how to visit them. Photos of all the nominations, so do go out and visit all the nominated sites and any other geological sites in Britain that you want to go and have a look at.
Absolutely.